Oh, is this where the feet pics come in?
I guess.
Like, they're like, oh, shove that foot down my throat.
Rise and shine, ladies. You're tuned in to Skirts Up with Samantha and Melissa.
We got your daily dose of hope and humor while we discuss everything from failing to succeeding
and all the spiciness in between.
Hey, good morning, Sam.
Hey, Melissa. How's it going today?
It is good. This is our first time getting back together since I had the expo.
Oh, that's right. How was the expo? How'd that go? What is the expo?
Yeah, so it's a big deal in the sewing and quilting community, if I do say so myself. Anyway, it's called the Original Sewing and Quilting Expo, and it actually travels around the country. So they have like a circuit that they do, and every year in March, they are in Atlanta. So I was tapped to be the handy quilter dealer. I sell handy quilter long arm machines at the expo this year. And that was really exciting.
You were chosen.
I was.
Wow. How hard is it to get picked?
Well, in the past, it's been very hard because one person had it monopolized. Oh. There was one shop that they did really well for handy quilter. And so they somehow just got in like every year. The area manager like just said, hey, you guys can have it every year. And it was just a deal that they had. And there weren't really any other dealers around that were really working hard mm-hmm. at selling the machines. But then I came along and it's like, I've been working really hard and I'm really small and I'm just trying to get my foot in the door. And so when this other shop closed, my area rep talked to them and was like, because they said, oh, no, we still want expo. We still want to do handy quilter stuff, even though our quilt shop closed. And she's like, well, you don't have a storefront anymore. And they said, well, we're going to get one. She said, okay, well, then I'm going to let Melissa have it this year. And they said, okay, well, we're getting it next year. And she said, we'll see. But then when I was at expo, somebody came up to me and said, so by the way, they said they're going to be here next year. And I was like, oh, good to know. So I've got to make good friends with my territory sales manager. Because my old one just retired 2 weeks before the expo. She's the one who chose me. And now we're going to get a new one. And I just got to be on the, you know.
Oh, well.
Make sure I can get back in next year. Because it was yeah. awesome.
And how successful was it?
Honestly, it was better than I could have imagined.
Oh, good. Yeah. You were so nervous.
I was very nervous. So actually, though, that is what I wanted to talk about for my fail today. Can I share it?
Yeah.
Okay. So. One of the things that we actually were very lucky in the fact that Handy Quilter sent us an educator that works for their company to come out and help us out at the show. And
so an extra body.
An extra body.
Nice.
But she's actually, we got really lucky because she has family here and she's one of their studio educators. So you'll see her, her name is Denise. You'll see her on their Handy Quilter YouTube channel all the time. And usually the studio educators do not go out into the field and help with shows. But she has a daughter here who just had a baby. And she also met me like a few years ago at training and we really hit it off. And so when she saw it come through that I wanted an educator, she's like, I'm going. So that was awesome.
Oh, that's so nice.
We learned a lot from her. She was amazing. The very first day we got there, this is the fail part. We were meeting with so many people and it was just the busiest booth I could have imagined. People wanted to know everything about the machines. But we weren't actually getting any follow-up information. And so the end of the day or in the middle of the day, Denise was like, look, you guys, she pulled us aside. She said, you need to start filling out these customer offer to purchase forms so that you can get their information and be able to kind of reach back out to them. So I would say that first day, even though I thought we were doing so great because so many people came to our booth, we didn't get anyone's information that day. And truthfully, a lot of our sales came for the following 2 days. Getting those customer offer, those COP forms filled out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the show was over, because it went like Thursday through Saturday. So then the next Monday, I called a few of those people and I sold 5 more machines.
Nice.
And it's like if I had just, yeah. So it's a small fail, but it was a pretty great one because we learned from it. And
yeah.
It means, hey, we tried something new. We'd never been to a show like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So. I feel kind of proud of it, even though, because, you know, we did something new. We put ourselves out there and we learned.
Yeah, that's a lot more machines than you usually sell on a regular basis.
Yes. a lot. So now I'm like, I actually met with another fabric rep just last night. And she sat with me and said, hey, here's some shows that happen in the area that are really good. And maybe you could try them out.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to try and do more shows. So we have another one in Greenville, South Carolina in April. And then there's one in June I'm going to try and get into. And then there's another one in the fall that she couldn't remember the name of. But when she gets it, she's going to tell me. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you're a really big people person. So it's really not hard for you to get people to come over and chat with you long enough to fill a form out.
Thank you. Thank you. It was something that was kind of weird. One of my employees was like, I just don't know how to get to that point where I just say, fill out a form. Like they get scared and leave. And I was like, oh, it's easy. All you have to do is be like, hey, you know, we have sales other times during the year, not just here at Expo. Let me get your information and you can go on my handy quilter list because they are interested in machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know that we're trying to help them get the best deal, they're not going to hesitate giving their info. So that was pretty cool. We did learn a lot from Denise. She was cool.
Oh, well, good. Maybe you'll start seeing some of the new bodies in the shop.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that happened. We went to another con once and probably for a year later, we were saying people would say, oh, I met you at the Atlanta con, quilt con. And I was like, I don't know. I felt kind of famous.
Oh.
But it was cool. It brought new people into the shop that didn't know we existed because we are very small. So tell me, did you have a fail this week or do you have something you want to share that you learned from?
You just saw my fail, Melissa.
Oh, is that what we're sharing? Okay. I don't feel like it was yours alone, but.
Oh my God. I just lost my whole effing mind over getting ready to record this episode. I'm still getting used to all the equipment and it's not like I have been the one hands-on setting up all this equipment every damn time.
Mm-hmm.
And like every damn time something goes wrong and I'm sitting there for an hour trying to figure out like what is wrong and why is it not working. And then today I like get on and I'm like, okay, I know exactly what I'm doing. I put everything exactly where it goes and I pulled everything up exactly the same way that I always do. And it's not fucking working. And I was getting so mad. And Melissa was about to see me like lose my whole mind for probably the first time ever.
I feel like you kind of lost it a little bit. And I was like, all right, it's getting real.
Oh my God, I was so mad. It's not like I haven't done this 10 times at this point.
Which I actually felt bad that you felt like it was all on you because yes, you have been doing it all. And I've just been kind of like, I'm going to come record. Sam knows how to push all the buttons.
Well, you know,
and then I couldn't help you.
The equipment is here. Like it makes sense.
Oh, what did we do?
By this time, Melissa was like, okay, let's keep track of everything that you're pushing and everything that you're adjusting. And I'm like, okay. And so every time I would move something, every time I'd click something, we're like writing it down. And then we're like circling like as, oh, that's all what works. Let's circle everything that we had changed.
And now we have a list. It's
We do.
Next time we're just going to go through the checklist.
And I closed out all the systems and then pulled them all back up and then hit all the checkpoints again. So that I was physically doing all the checkpoints.
Like, y'all, I hope you like our podcast. I hope you do because we're putting a lot of work into it. This is not a small learning curve.
It almost got some tears. I was getting mad.
It's okay. So I have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
You were saying the other day that, well, no, you said it on the podcast, that you've been kind of curious about your spirituality and you're not really sure what you believe and you want your mind blown. What has led you to like even start thinking about spirituality? Like, what do you want your mind blown in? Do you even, like, how did this all come about?
The curiosity, I guess, is like coming within the last 2 years. It's been super life-changing for me. In that time, I became a stay-at-home mom. I've always worked with animals, especially. Like, I've always been...
I mean, you're still working with animals. You have kids.
And a husband.
Everybody, please. We're joking.
I mean, I do have 4 fucking dogs. But anywho. Yeah. So staying at home and not being a provider is new for me. And that was really depressing. And this really tight time frame, we moved houses. So we got a new home. I had a new baby. We had some, you know, relationship struggles, normal stuff. And then on top of that, I had postpartum depression and then like work was awful. There was supposed to be someone overlooking my pet shop while I was on maternity leave, and not a damn adult, I should say, or like someone to run the business showed up like once while I was gone. So it was people who have never had experience running a business, some minor people, like 16-year-olds, like having to have these discussions with clients that they shouldn't have had to have because, one, they're not an adult.
Whoa, what do you mean?
Oh,
give me an example, because this sounds spicy. Saying you had 16-year-olds working for you at the pet spa.
Oh, I do. Right. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And then they were put in positions because you weren't there.
Because, yeah, and they didn't send another manager to run the store. So, like, there were times where a client would pull them aside and be angry about something. Like, why is my dog being returned with blah, blah, blah? Or, you know, who can I speak to get this fixed because
just
I'm not
normal,
happy?
Like,
yeah, normal conflict.
16-year-old's not.
And what are they going to say?
Equipped to,
like, I'm sorry. My manager is out for like 2 months because she just had a baby. Like,
yeah.
Because no one is there to have their back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was just, I got my store returned in awful condition and it was in great condition when I left it. That's so, cute. Yeah, that did not help the situation. So I left that. And I was really depressed when I decided to leave because I felt like I should have stayed to fix it again because I had it great before. I could have had it great again, but it just was not in my power at that time. It was too much and I didn't find it fair and I didn't appreciate that I spent so much time for that company to have this great, great store and great, great employees. And
then they didn't support you in helping you keep mm-hmm. it that way. Oh, yeah, that's rough. So that's what led to being stay at home, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. My husband was like, you don't have to work. Like, you're miserable right now. Like, why don't you stay home and spend some time getting your thoughts together and figure out, like, what do you want to do next?
And then the thoughts came.
I mean, honestly, they didn't start coming until like this year.
That's okay.
I like literally sat at home these last 2 years, like just kind of depressed. Like it was really hard for me to not be a provider for some reason. Like I did it for so long and just like relying on my husband, it just didn't feel good.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. So you started having thoughts like,
well,
what's this all about?
So I guess coming to this year, the end of last year is when my health started crumbling. So at that point, it's been a little over a year and a half of me just feeling so out of place, depressed, like just lost. And then towards the end of last year is when the seizures and like my health starts crashing. I was sick all the time with random viruses, random infections, like the seizures. And then Simon's mom goes down. What's going down with her? And I was just like, this is a lot. Something's going on. And then I just realized, I don't know what I believe in. I think I don't believe in like a normal religion, a God per se. I don't believe that there's someone who's saying, I'm better than you. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell.
Got like, you.
That seems very judgmental. And who's to say that your good intentions aren't good intentions when their good intentions may have a different stem?
Motivation.
Yeah. I don't know. Anywho, and then I started reading and coming about the idea of spirituality. And it's a lot of weird things to me. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of very odd things to me. And what was interesting is every time I'd bring up something odd that I read on the internet, you're always like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, I've done that before. Oh, I've met someone.
I've been down the rabbit holes because after I left my religion, like I also was kind of like, well, what's up then?
Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah. So maybe this is just like a normal turning point. And you were probably about my age, I guess, mm-hmm. when you started too.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if this is just a normal life crisis.
That's interesting to think. You know, there's those age-old questions like, where have we come from? Where are we going? Who are we? Why are we here? And I wonder if we just don't, maybe it is kind of natural to start thinking about those in your 20s, because before that, you're just kind of having fun.
30s.
You're still developing. 30s. You are 30.
I am
That's
old.
That's true. Yeah, because I was 32 when I left, like officially left the church and then started kind of, I'd always been, anyway, okay, let's get back to you. This is interesting.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it all coincides.
It does.
But so it wasn't until, I mean, I guess it's been probably 9 months that I was like, okay, let's just think about this. Do I believe in one powerful being that is being in one powerful thing?
One powerful green bean. When you're feeling froggy.
God is a green bean.
Oh, that's right. Did you watch VeggieTales? Is that what that's from?
I was singing like Ariana Grande, God's a Woman.
Oh, gosh.
God.
How did I not catch that? That's hilarious. I watched a lot of VeggieTales when I was a nanny.
Okay, I did watch VeggieTales. My favorite one is, I don't got a belly button.
I just remember one about Beulah or Beluga, the whale, and he was in love with her.
Oh, I don't think I remember that. But anyway, I definitely sang the, I gotta tell you something. I don't got a belly button.
Do you have a belly button?
I do.
Of course you do, I guess.
And Nora does too. She likes to go, belly button.
Any outie?
Oh, any. I don't.
I'm an innie.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that has an Audi, actually.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think so, anyways. But no one's come up to me and been like, check out my Audi. Unless they're talking about a car. Because then that's more normal.
Who said it was normal?
We are not normal. Okay, so just to get back on topic. Spirituality. When I'm reading about it, because all of a sudden I know that I don't believe in this one entity that is going to decide who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? It's really odd to me to think that you're going to die and you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be internally with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Again, you're leaving to the imagination that they all believe that they were
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, just because they're, let's say your mom and you guys, you know, had a great relationship, you stayed in the same church or whatever, who's to say that maybe their inner self wasn't good? Why would you just assume that because you go to the same church, you do the same practices, and you do the same thing, that that's what makes you into heaven? Like, why? And so, same with hell. Like, why do you even want to imagine that someone's going to be tortured and miserable for all of eternity?
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second for the Christians and whatnot, because I did grow up in a very strong Christian faith. I think that some might say it's not just about doing the things of the church, but actually like having, so there's something that we used to talk about called living the spirit of the law or living the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish I had a good example for this. Does it make sense to you when I say spirit of the law versus letter of the law? Like actually doing the things, like baptism gets you to heaven versus spirit of the law would be more like, I got baptized because I'm following Jesus Christ because I want to live a good life. So the spirit of the law is like where you're trying to actually like feel it on the inside and have that intrinsic desire to be good.
It.
Right.
Instead of just going through the motions just because you're told to.
Correct. So I would say that, while there's a lot of people who are religious and do believe in baptism, they would say it takes more than just doing those things to get into heaven or hell or whatnot. But that's just a little... I don't believe that way anymore, but I did want to kind of take up for them.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And obviously, that's probably what a lot of people believe in, especially when they believe in a religion particularly. And I just realized that I thought that was, I'm not going to use the word ignorant to believe that that is what happens.
I will always use the word arrogant. I feel like it was very arrogant of me to believe that I had the one and only truth.
That's valid. I think that that makes a lot of sense. And I think that that's how everyone, that's not how everyone should think.
It's, well,
I think everyone should strive to understand that your beliefs and your thoughts are not always the thoughts and the answer.
Think outside ourselves. It's important.
It's a really odd concept to think about a heaven and a hell and that's it. And now you're just with your loved ones forever. But when you start thinking about things like reincarnation. I think that's the specific thing that I was like, that makes sense to me. I think that it makes sense to believe that maybe there is one soul inside of a person and it just continuously gets to live more lives. Mm-hmm. And then reading more about that, it was basically saying that your soul has a like soul purpose and you'll keep getting reincarnated. That soul will keep getting reincarnated until its soul purpose has been discovered and completed. Mm-hmm. So basically what I was reading is that people should strive to like understand their soul and what and try to find that purpose and understand their past lives, because otherwise history will repeat itself.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting. So that's something that I'm interested in learning more about is past lives. Like, what can you learn from it? What does that mean? People that believe in energies and auras, I mean,
very interesting.
I don't know if I, how can you look at someone and see an energy? But, you know, at the same time, I can walk into a room and read the feeling in it.
Yeah.
I can walk in a room and be like, oh, those two people aren't getting along. Mm-hmm. Let me see myself out. Like, you can feel it.
Yeah.
So maybe there's truth to that. I don't know. Recently, I learned about spirit guides and that how that can kind of correlate into a soul and its purpose. And mm-hmm. people believe that spirit guides follow you around and are to guide you down the right path. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to have a meeting with someone about that. So we'll see what happens there. Astrology, the horoscopes and retrograde. Like, I see people all the time that just strongly believe in how this.
I always say that I'll be like, something's in retrograde, but I know nothing about astrology. I'll be honest, like, I know on my about page, I said that I'm a Taurus because it's true. Like, when you read about a Taurus, I feel like it does align with who I am, which is very interesting. But at the same time, it's not.
But do you, like, if you were to read your horoscope on a regular basis, do you feel like it aligns with what happened that day, what's going to happen?
I don't see those things as, so I'm kind of different. I see everything as very gray. Nothing's black and white. And so,
Is that frustrating though? Because I feel like that's what I'm frustrated in. Is that
you want an answer?
Though I always see things in gray, but it frustrates me that I see things
does
in gray.
It?
I want answers. I want to know left or right. I want black and white. But I see everything in gray. I see Simon and I can have an argument, and
you see both sides,
and I see both fucking sides. And so it's really, really hard for me to like stand up for myself when I can sit there and be like, no, I see exactly why he's mad. He's mad because he's seeing me do XYZ or saying XYZ, and that's hurtful because blah, blah, blah. But like, I know where I'm coming from and I'm mad because of this, but like,
interesting.
It gets really hard because it's like, okay, I hear what he's saying, so I should just back off. At the same time, no, like, I'm valid too.
Absolutely.
And so then it's like, it's just really hard for me to have arguments. I see the side of everything, like,
same.
And it's just aggravating.
So growing up, though, I grew up in a very, like, my father was, he sees things black and white. And I think he knows that about himself, and maybe he kind of tries to work on that. At times in his life, I've seen that he has tried. But that was always very frustrating to me because I don't see things as black and white. I see, like you said, I can see all sides of things very often. And sometimes when I think, like, I have an idea of what I believe and then somebody else starts talking to me about their thoughts, I'm like, I can see that too. So, like, I don't know. I like having that gray. I almost feel it's a little bit evolved, but maybe that sounds...
No, I think that's probably the positive and probably the right way to think about it, honestly, because I guess the whole point of this podcast is to have an open mind. And saying gray, you're talking about an open mind.
Yeah.
Maybe it just frustrates me because I want to feel like I personally know that I believe in this aspect, and I feel like I don't believe in any aspect at this point. I need more knowledge to...
You feel like you want to say you stand for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
got you. Can I share something with you? With you talking about wanting to believe in something. I know earlier today, I had us both take some quizzes. And one was from the Pew Research Center, which they're like a non-biased fact-finding source, like tank kind mm-hmm. of a company. And a lot of politicians and international companies or national, but they are U.S. based, will use them because they've done a lot of research on like census stuff and quizzes and things. And so we did a little quiz together. Actually, we didn't do it together. We did it separately, but we both got the same answer. And it was that we're a little bit religion resistant, which is only apparently 12% of the United States. And then we did another quiz, and it was kind of what values align with us, or what religious values do our own personal values most align with. Like, and we both ended up getting the same answer there, and it was universal Unitarianism. And the reason I wanted to say is because you said you want to feel like you stand for something. And so while I'm not a universal Unitarianist, because I can't even say the word, I do find their philosophy very interesting. After we had left the church, Brett was telling me, maybe we should find a church to go to. I miss the community, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I said, I am not interested in going to any of like Christian-based religions, like churches with you, but I would support you. And if that's what you wanted to do, I said, the one church that I would attend would be Universal Unitary. Let me get back and say it right. Unitarian Universalist. Sorry.
There we go. That was
Unitarian
great.
Universalist. Thank you. Because yep. I read it. Because I had friends who were in that church and they're very open-minded. And they don't actually believe in a specific religion. There's Jewish people that attend. There's Mormons that attend. There's Hindus that attend. There's atheists that are there. Hmm. So I want to share these seven principles with you.
Okay.
Because I thought maybe it's okay to not stand for a religion. Maybe you want to stand for people. Does that sound weird? Or interesting?
Yeah.
Let me share you what their seven tenets are that they believe.
Okay.
Okay. So they believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
Okay.
So every person has value.
Yeah.
Okay. They believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations.
Yes.
Okay. They believe in the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations.
And repeat that one.
That's okay. So they believe in acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations.
I don't know about that one yet.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I think about that one in a second. The fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
Okay.
Okay. The fifth, the right of conscience and the use of democratic process within our congregations and in a society at large.
So that's basically the government that we live in, basically, like,
kind of
decision making.
Kind of having like a democratic and like open, trying to also like let our consciousness guide us.
Democratic isn't the right word, is it? That's like a political view. Democracy, is that maybe the word?
Democratic is the right word, but it has been taken to be seen as a political view. But in this instance, it's not.
Okay.
It's not saying I'm a Democrat.
Gotcha.
It's just saying democratic is in, we're all going to talk about these things and kind of like give our viewpoints and then come to a one decision together.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
Okay. The sixth is the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
Okay.
I don't remember that one. That's funny. Seven is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
That's what we're trying to do, I think, while trying to figure out what.
Agree. So it's, I feel like if I were to ever go to a church, it would be that, because I feel like they stand for people more than they stand for a religion. And that to me is very important.
Yeah, it's supporting people in whichever direction they're going into and supporting the person in general.
Yeah.
As a person.
Exactly. I find it very interesting. I'm not.
And what did you tell me earlier? You felt like that label, the Unitarian Universalism, that it stands for
everything and nothing?
Yeah.
And I don't know, because like I said, I'm not. If any of you listening are a member of this religious group, I don't even know if they call themselves a religious group. They call themselves an association. But if any one of you listening can shed more light on this, like, I feel like from what I've seen, they believe in everything and nothing is how I would describe it, because they're accepting of everyone. Mm-hmm. But they don't
say. It's not a preaching of.
There's
this
no
is what
preaching.
You're going to do. This
is
what
the truth. This is the, it's like everyone has their own truth kind of a thing. And what your journey is, we're going to support you in that. Like, that's one of the tenets, supporting each other I think that was the one that you said you weren't sure about.
So what do they do? Do they still sing? Like you go in, they like sing like God songs or like?
No. When I was there, there was singing. I think.
Let me just be clear. I am not hating on anyone that has a Christianity belief, and I'm not shitting on God as a belief. It's always been a lot for me. It's been very like, you go to church and you just, there's a routine and like you have to tithe and you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to behave a certain way to be accepted. And that's just a lot of pressure. And I mean, I remember going to a Baptist church one time, like while I was pregnant. And what I walked into that class was them basically saying that, that I was going to hell because I was pregnant as a child out of wedlock and stuff. And I just remember being just so like mind blown. I was like, oh, okay, well, this isn't for me.
Wow.
And I just knew that I just have always known that I don't know that I believe in baptism is what's going to get you to heaven. And I don't know. It's just been a lot for me. For me, I think that you should believe in whatever you strongly believe in. And that is A-okay. As long as you don't shove it down my throat, because I'm not going to shove down myself.
Yeah, please don't shove yourself down someone's throat, Sam.
No?
I feel like that would be really unethical.
I mean, just a foot? Like, some people need it.
Mm-mm. No. Also, it's a little bit too sexual, too. Like, we're going to try to keep this clean.
Who wants a foot shoved down their throat?
Stop I don't know. It. There are people.
Oh, is this where the feet pics come in?
I guess.
Like, they're like, oh, shove that foot down my throat.
My face is just pure shock just now. That was hilarious.
Was it the evil voice or what?
It was like everything all at once. Shut that foot down my throat. I was like, oh, wow. It's like she's seen some things.
I have not actually.
No, but anyway, no, I don't think hopefully that people can see that neither of us, even though, that's actually probably one of the things that attracts me to the Unitarian Universalists was that, okay, so that was the tenet that you said you weren't sure about. I'm going to read it again. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. I like that because you're encouraging others to live their journey and grow the way that works for them.
But how are they coming together to grow together when they're growing opposite?
So I don't think it has to be opposite. I think that's probably in an ideal, beautiful
because
world.
I think that I would want an example of like, if they do have where they get together and sing, what are they singing about? What are they worshiping? Because the point is that they might worship different entities.
They don't get together to sing and worship. They get together to talk about bettering themselves and supporting the people around them. So like...
I might have to just check one out because
It sounds interesting to you, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I can picture what a day in that church would look like.
I only went twice and it was like 10 years ago. And I mean, honestly, a religion's just not for me. Organized religion's not for me. But I would align with them more than anybody else, I would say. Just because of their openness and their, I don't know, openness. But yeah, I remember my friend who was in that church that I went with, they would have like self-help groups throughout the week and they'd have like different speakers come and talk. And it's just interesting. They were all trying to grow and just be better humans, better humans. Yeah, that's how I would say it.
Okay.
With all of my knowledge that was from like visiting twice 10 years ago.
More than I, Melissa.
But I thought it was interesting that both you and I got that.
That is really
weird.
Yeah, because I see you not much, but I see you opposite of me. Like, you are more spiritual in the fact that you believe in energies and, like, just, you know, like that kind of healing and.
Yeah.
And
like Reiki.
Yeah. And I think that sounds wild.
It is wild. I'll admit, I think it sounds wild too. I find myself interested in, because like you said, you can walk in, you can feel the energy of a room. So I do find myself interested in energies and stuff. And I do feel like when I'm in nature, I feel the energy of the world and the earth around me. And okay. So to me, that's kind of what I feed off of. If there was anything I would have to say I could worship, it would be the earth. And yeah, so I don't know.
When you're out in nature, you feel like a strong sense of
oneness. Yeah, I feel like it's a lot easier to feel at one with anyone around me.
So one of the things that people keep pulling at me that are spiritual and in this kind of way, they ask me all the time, what do you feel like when you're in nature? And a lot of times, particularly in water, bodies of water, a lake, really, I feel like intense calmness. Like I could have been stressed out of my mind the whole week, not slept. I could be angry. And then we go to the lake, wading in the water, and I'm calm. Mm-hmm. Or like if we're sitting on outside and the sun is just on my shoulders after a really stressful day, I start to feel calm.
I could agree. That's probably how I would describe it too.
It's a calming feeling, not like a...
And for me, it's more being in the mountains and with trees around me. And like feeling my feet on the dirt.
I don't resonate. Like my feet don't go like, ooh, yay, dirt.
It's okay.
Rub it on me.
That's okay. But you feel like it. You feel it in body of water.
So maybe that's.
I don't know. I think
same
we all,
and different.
Yeah. I think it's the same and different.
Okay.
I like that. We're going to say that's going to be our new motto. Same and different.
You know, and I've said this before, but one of the other things that I think is crazy, not, you know, believe in it if you do, but I keep mentioning the starseed thing.
That was really interesting to me too. I don't necessarily believe that one.
Well, you said that you did get a reading, right?
I did get a reading.
So that one just seems wild. Okay, I say that it sounds wild to me and that I think it's really outlandish. But is it outlandish when it's basically saying that, again, there's a soul that is traveling through time? Mm-hmm. It's just starseeds believe that their soul is from other dimensions, other planets, traveling to try and teach and bring peace. Mm-hmm. And why I'm interested in talking to someone who does specialize in this is because when I read about the characteristics that a person has when they discover that they're a starseed, okay, it's that feeling of loss, that feeling of no purpose. They don't understand what they're doing. And they don't feel like they belong.
And that leads them to decide they're a starseed?
It leads them down the path of starting to find, I guess, these individuals that do these readings.
Okay.
I don't know how that works, but I
will throw out a little thing. I do believe that a lot of religions could technically be classified as cults, even though that's a very strong word. And I do think that cults have a tendency to go for people who don't know who they are or what they're doing or where, like, because it's a vulnerability.
Would you call starseeds a religion?
No. I was just saying that, like, if you're saying that most people kind of don't know who they are, where they're coming from, maybe that's something to kind of think, oh, well, I don't know. Just keep it in the back of your mind. Maybe it means they're more vulnerable to believing whatever they...
Got to be careful you're not got...
I guess so. But again, I'm one who says, I don't know what I believe because I lived a life of strong, dogmatic, like, this is the truth. There's only one truth. And I refuse to go back to that, even in the opposite direction. I'm not going to say I'm an atheist because I'm not going to say there's no God because I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, I think no one knows. And that's that part of me that's the gray part that's, I'm like, I'm okay accepting that. But I think there's a lot of things that you can kind of find resonate with you.
Yeah.
And maybe there's pieces of truth to it. And who knows? I'm not saying starseeds are wrong or right. I did get a reading. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it did tell me that I was a starseed and that Earth was my favorite place to reincarnate to, which I thought wild. I was like, oh, because I didn't realize that it talked about that. What you had said, like other dimensions and other worlds.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part. And so when I got that reading, I kind of read a little bit more into it or about it later. And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if that's true, but I definitely can say I do have a part of, well, as we've been saying the whole time, there's a part of me that understands so many different aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of okay with it.
Did it make you feel any peace, like any understanding?
Believing that or hearing that I was a starseed? No.
It didn't help you find a purpose?
No.
Do you feel like you have a soul purpose? Do you feel like you know what you're here to do and that you're feeling fulfilled and accomplished?
I feel like if reincarnation is true, which I actually kind of tend to sometimes feel like it feels right.
I think that's what is feeling right for me.
If it's true, I tend to think that there's lots of lessons that we're trying to learn and perfect over different lives, I guess. And so I don't know what my purpose is except for just to be a better human and to help the people around me. Like, I guess that's a purpose. And I do feel strongly about that.
You feel satisfied.
I feel satisfied.
Yeah.
With that idea and that thought. Yeah.
Is there a particular human service that you do that you go, yes, I help someone?
Well, now you're making me look at my talents. That's so hard.
No, like some people, like,
you're right, though.
Simon would probably say that something, a service that he does sometimes that makes him feel really fulfilled is at a drive-thru, he'll pay for the person behind him or something.
Oh, gotcha.
And like, then he gets this strong sense of like, I probably made their day. And that makes me happy.
So one thing that I do think is a talent of mine, and I'm actually an introvert, but I act like an extrovert.
Okay.
Okay. Because I want everyone around me to feel comfortable. And I do feel like that's a talent of mine, is just trying to make everyone feel comfortable. And sometimes I'll do it like with self, like derogatory jokes towards myself. And that's not always the best, but I feel like I can kind of chameleon into most crowds and kind of know what people need to feel good. And mm-hmm. I just want people to love themselves more. And I do feel like I have a small talent for that.
Okay. That doesn't make you feel like a people pleaser and like you're not doing what's right by you?
You know, that's a good question, though, because growing up, I was a people pleaser and I probably just needed to refine that talent. Mm-hmm. I do think you're right. There's a time when you have to learn how to step back and say, these are my boundaries. I've got to take care of me for a second. You know,
so you can feel when I want to participate in something and then you read the vibe of what's going on and you're like, I'm cool with participating. So let me just fit in, and you'll fit yourself in how you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. But then once you're tapped out and you'll peace out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning how to be more, have better boundaries. It's true. That's something I've had to learn over the years.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to say like I'm a fake person and you can't trust me because like I chameleon my way into things. It's just that I feel like I truly do understand a lot of people, like how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to a lot of different types of people.
I don't know how to respond when I feel people having feelings.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be really funny. When I worked, people who worked with me, they would think I didn't like them because they were always able to come into the office and cry and say whatever was bothering them. I had like this one kid that worked there and she had like some family difficulties. And sometimes she would just come in after school and she'd be crying. And we had this understanding. There's a chair in there. You can sit, you can cry, and you can blabber what you want to blabber about all you want. I'm not going to look at you and I'm likely not going to respond, but I'm listening. But I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Because I feel what they're saying and then I lock up because I don't know how to respond. Because I know that like if I'm having a meltdown and like just am blabbering, I likely don't want you to touch me. I don't want a hug.
Yep.
I don't want 2 cents. I really don't want anything. And mm-hmm. so I think that causes me not to know how to react when someone's having a meltdown or trying to like share this like deep emotional feeling when I'm just not.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I feel like maybe that's part of what when you asked me, like, do I feel like I have something I can offer helping people in this earth life that I'm in? I feel like maybe that's part of it is because
The compassion,
but also I'm learning how to read people. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to read people over the years. And I know not everybody's going to want that hug. Everybody wants something different, right? And you're right. Like, that's a big part of it. If you have a hard time knowing what it is that's going to make them feel better. Some people just want to be heard. Some people want some validation. Most of us want validation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty safe place to start.
And I think to feel safe being alone without being alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah. I remember, like, I had a best friend growing up, Lennon. And one of the things is, like, when I was just out of control, upset or whatever, there was just this understanding that we'd sit on the couch together. He would play video games and I would be sitting on the opposite side of the couch and we'd be sitting in silence. We wouldn't be talking to each other.
Wow.
And then I'd be like, okay, I'm better. And then I'd get up and go.
That's really cool.
It was just.
Do you feel like he just knew what you needed or do you feel like he was just living his life?
I have no idea.
I'm just going to keep playing video games.
I mean, neither of us ever felt like it was awkward.
That's wonderful.
Like, it was normal. It was normal for one of us to get mad and just like sit there and like pout for a minute and then be like, okay, I'm good. Bye.
Yeah.
Because then we were able to like be alone and like feel the feelings, but not be alone and not have to talk about it. Like, it was just like.
It's
telepathic,
okay,
maybe.
To have
I don't know.
These feelings, like, you know, the person next to you is not judging you for having the feelings you're having.
Yeah.
Just have them. Have them experience them.
It was an odd existence where I didn't feel pressure to feel the silence and feel the void.
That's
it
awesome.
It was just okay to be.
That is awesome. Because I do struggle with that sometimes. I think we've got to fill some silence, but I'm working on it.
Around people I don't know, around new groups of people, in a group of people, I never know who to talk to, when to talk to them. I get really stressed out. Like, am I talking too much? Am I not talking enough? Is this awkward? Is everyone feeling awkward? Just me? I don't know. And then I start panicking. I'm like, do you have hair on your toes? Like, I don't. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't an appropriate question.
When I was in biology in college, the teacher was showing us about how there's recessive genes and whatnot. And if you have like hair on your knuckles, she wanted everyone to come up and write on the board under yes or no. You have hair on your knuckles. And I walked up and I was like, I was self-conscious. And I walked up and I wrote, no, I don't. And I got back in my teammate number at my table. He was like, you have hair on your knuckles. I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't.
I cannot tell you how long I've been shaving my hands just because of the peach fuzz. I'm like, huh, surely peach fuzz on your hands isn't normal. It's fucking normal.
It's totally normal.
I would sit there and shave it off my knuckle to my hands like a weirdo.
Right.
Like, that's just one of those things that I think a lot of people feel self-conscious about. I always had darker, thicker hair on my arms.
Same.
And I remember one day I was about to go shave all the hair off my arms in the bathroom and my mom happened to walk by and the door was open and she happened to walk by and she comes and she goes, shave the hair on your arms and I'm going to shave your head, because she was like, you're going to make it worse. You think you're bothered by it now? And I'm like, and now I don't know. I don't feel like it's that dark. I don't feel like it's that.
That's so funny.
Whatever.
I think it's a myth because I was always told that too. Like, if you shave, it will regrow back darker.
Oh, I have no clue.
I don't know either.
I just never tested it.
But
so anywho, I think that it would be really fun if you guys listening, if you guys do know what you strongly believe in, if you do have something that maybe you're curious about, let us know. I want to hear what you strongly believe in and why. Is it just what you were raised and you just feel very moved and powerful by it?
We have a really cool episode coming up actually where we get to talk to somebody who has some very strong beliefs and I can't wait to have a conversation with her. So you guys got to listen to that too.
Yeah, it'll be really fun.
Same but different. Together. Yeah. So are you looking for that purpose still? Or do you feel part of you?
That's
fine.
I am.
That is okay.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not feeling super depressed about the provider part anymore. Simon's doing a phenomenal job and it's just been, I've been able to adjust and know that my place is taking care of the home. Like, I know I can do that. It may not be perfect and how I want it all the time, but it's something that I have time to do that he
To be clear, won't. You're not saying that it's a woman's place to do that. You're saying in your relationship with Simon, you've decided that's your place.
No, and honestly, that's never been how we operated. We've always operated.
Make sure.
Yeah, no. We both have always worked and we both knew what household items one liked and what household items one didn't like. I didn't like cooking. Simon did all the cooking. Like,
oh, he's such a good cook.
But now, like, I stay home and I feel like I need to do something. And he used to cook for me when I didn't like it. So I'm trying to make myself like cooking and I keep trying to provide food.
Aww.
Like, I'm not providing the money, but I can provide the food with it. And hopefully it turns out good eventually.
It will. You're like, here's my little sample burnt brownie. Do you love me?
My brownie with 3 cups of oil in it. Burnt in the oven. That was awful.
And that was your offering to the family. And I'm sure that they loved you for it.
Yeah, it was great. All right, guys. Okay. Catch you on the flip side.
Yeah. If you guys, I do want to add, one of the best things you can do to help us is actually hit the subscribe button. So
I want reviews.
I want reviews too. And I want you to come talk to us in our Facebook group. I really want to hear the thoughts that you're having while you're listening to our crazy thoughts.
Yeah. Is it provoking anything in you? Because that would make our hearts happy that we're not the only ones sitting here contemplating life.
Right. But also it would make us happy to know that like maybe we can kind of like have a little bit of, I don't know, or it'll make our hearts happy.
Yeah.
So
inspiring others.
Hit subscribe. Follow us on our Facebook group.